What's up, everybody? Roger and James here, from the Disney Kingdom Podcast. In this episode, we're going to be talking about 20th Century Fox and how it kind of integrates with Disney. But in this primarily episode, we're going to be talking about National Geographic. If you're not familiar with them, they have like a monthly magazine, they have television networks, they have books, they have DVDs, they have like educational toys, all kinds of bits and pieces. I've been a big fan of National Geographic as far back as I can ever remember. On numerous occasions, I've had subscriptions to the magazine. I always like flicking through it, especially when you go to the dentist or the doctors. I've been a big fan of some of their TV shows. It's just been one of those sort of brands that has been around. I remember they used to have National Geographic stores and like Discovery stores. I always thought the National Geographic and Discovery were like linked because they were always part of the Discovery package on our Sky network over here. So you always got one with the other. But Disney buying this, I thought this, and even Bob Iger sort of mentioned it in the passing about how it would be very good to be incorporated. And I think this is an untapped little thing that people are not quite maybe thinking about quite so much.
Oh, no, actually, I didn't even realize it was part of the package until you mentioned it earlier this week. I was kind of like, oh, I didn't even realize Fox had Nat Geo, and there by extension, we will as well. I, of course, grew up with Nat Geo as well, the magazine. We had a monthly subscription to it. It was great for school projects, you know, because you have this entire, if you didn't throw them away, you just had this resource of pictures that you could put on posters or in papers and stuff.
Like, we're talking photos, aren't they?
Even now they have top tier photographs. You know, they really do pick the best of the best in terms of photos. So I love that. They still have a solid reputation, even if magazines are kind of going the way of the dinosaurs at this point. Nat Geo is a name that people recognize and respect, and they listen when Nat Geo talks, at least about matters of you know, culture and life and so forth. And sure, you can still get the pictures of African culture and remote tribes in Serengeti or Asia or Antarctica, whatever. But even then, they've got the TV channel, like you were talking about. We get them as well, and they are very well respected in that. I think they're one of the very few science-y channels that never kind of went down that reality TV show that kind of destroyed some of those channels. Well, destroyed them as legitimate, interesting sources, but they were very popular for, whatever.
Yeah.
So
yeah, there's a lot of them I watch. But I feel as well of like, you know, they have constant books coming out, lots of kids' books, which instantly just, you know, you can see them being integrated with Disney Press books, and that's going to be something that they can continue. You know, animal books sell the kids. It's just, there's a reason why they keep doing them, because they're a natural product that kids are interested in, you know. So there's the book side of things, you know, they release. And then talking about the television side of things, the streaming service, this is a whole genre of television, of the back catalogue of all their content, and new content coming onto their streaming platform that is an entirely different genre that Disney have played around with way back since Disney was making movies. He loved making animal documentaries, and there are some great ones. I'll be honest, I find Disney nature movies to be very condescending with their with the way that they do it. It's just awful listening to them talking.
They definitely have a presentation style which tends to talk down to their audience, which is unfortunate. But this is where Nat Geo could be good, because National Geographic has a reputation closer to the BBC style with David Attenborough. I know he hasn't actually done any of the Nat Geo stuff, but it's a very similar tone where it's just informative. Here's a zebra. Here's the zebra getting attacked by a lion. This is what happens in nature. This is part of the cycle. Obviously, they do a much more compelling job than I just did, but they don't varnish it. They don't, you know, stir things up on purpose. They don't push lemmings off of cliffs, you know. So, I mean, maybe they do, but
I think growing up as a BBC, obviously being British, we had David Attenborough style, and that was mainstream television, and they didn't. So when you watch these American ones, it's like, why are you talking? It was like trying to manipulate and trying to, it was, we were used to a very different style of presentation that the Disney Nature ones never hit. This why they don't even barely even release the Disney Nature stuff here in the UK. It never comes to cinemas. It barely comes to anything because they don't work over here. We don't accept them the same way because their style, there's a reason why they don't release them. And that's the simple thing. They know that it's not working here because of the BBC. And I think that's the biggest issue.
I think that is the big issue. And then there's also the fact, a lot of the times when you're looking at the documentaries here in America, we tend to use celebrities rather than people who are actually very good at doing documentary style. You know, you'll get people like Jennifer Lawrence or what was his name? From the Shawshank Redemption. Morgan Freeman. Yeah, stuff like that. They'll go for the quality of the voice rather, or the name recognition rather than the actual talent of the person. That's why I think it was Life several years ago. It was produced by the BBC. When they released it here in America, they didn't have David Attenborough doing the voice. They had Oprah Winfrey doing it. Now, obviously, there's a lot of name recognition there. She's definitely got a good voice, and she did a talk show for years. I would hope she knows how to speak. But the quality between that version of the documentary and the David Attenborough was night and day. And even when they finally released it on DVD and Blu-ray and all that stuff, I don't think the Oprah version's even available. I think it's all David Attenborough here over in the States because people were just like, we like Oprah. She's cool. She does things, but this is not a particularly good documentary style.
No, but I think National Geographic, there's a little bit more, less fancy, but it's very well done. There's a lot of great stuff on there. And I feel like this is going to be a great boost to Disney's streaming service. It can launch straight into it. It's family friendly. It can go in there. It will instantly give them a bit of credibility on their platform for having something that's not just kids and stuff, and they can expand on it. And I think that, you know, Disney's got a very good reputation with doing stuff for nature, and I think the National Geographic brand for them is probably a great way of integrating that into Disney, and not the brand, that branding going anywhere, because that's got that name value that's in a different era than Disney. And I think that's gonna, I think, again, great for Animal Kingdom and things like this. I mean, I wouldn't be at all surprised if stuff starts coming, creeping into that store and stuff like that.
I really do hope, though, that they let Nat Geo continue to be its own entity, though. I don't want to see it merged in with Disney Nature. I think Disney Nature should continue to exist as its own thing because it's a very good little, let's call it what it is. Mostly it's propaganda for Disney talking about how great they are and how green they are and in tune with the environment.
The opposite way of get them integrate that into National Geographic rather than the other way around of like,
right,
you know, use those people, use that system to a better degree than, you know, I don't know. I just feel like National Geographic, when I went through the list of assets and stuff, it was like, this is a gold. This is really good. You know, and it's like, to me, it's one of the most natural fits for Disney.
Yeah, absolutely. And I wouldn't even mind if, say, over at Epcot or whatever, they rebranded a couple of those rides and stuck the Nat Geo logo on them. So
we'll wait and see. I can see the whole of the National Geographic store just being, that can be so easily sold on Shop Disney. It can just become another brand. And also they can kind of up it a bit. I don't know necessarily if I want to see National Geographic stuff with a Mickey Mouse figure in it, but I feel like this is a niche product, a separate entity, and, you know, I think it's good. I just think you're looking at it from like four or five different ways of looking at it, of this company, and it's like, keep it separate, move it underneath them, use the Disney chains of command, you know, the book publishing and the DVD situations, and you've got the animal parks and you've got the streaming service. I think this is a very big, good platform for them to move forward, and also just massive back catalog that's really going to just boost up that streaming service.
Absolutely. And like you said, and like I said earlier, as long as they let National Geographic be its own thing and not just become a propaganda arm of Disney, I think this will be a great acquisition for him.
Yeah, I think this is good. I mean, I know it's kind of one of those things of you wouldn't really have maybe expected this one, but no, it does look good, and can't wait to see what's happening with it. But left alone, guys, what you think? How do you think National Geographic will fit under the Disney umbrella when they purchase 21st Century Fox? Let us know your thoughts. Go check us out over at thiskingdom.com. Subscribe, like, follow. And James, where can I find you?
Find me, heroiclegacy.com.
And on that note, guys, thank you very much for joining us. We'll be back soon. Laters.
Later.